Hello, everybody. This is Kathy Caprino. I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to my Career Success Training monthly teleclass program, which is designed to give you expert strategies, solutions, and tips for building a successful, rewarding, and happy career that you love. And today we are talking about reducing stress and embracing balance and wellness. And as we are just about to hit the holidays and we're in the throes of the holiday season, I think that many people feel that their overly full plates already are really stretched to the limit. So I hope this is very useful information for you to manage your stress level and embrace balance and wellness. So just a few administrative details first before we launch into the content. First of all, I want you to know these calls are recorded, and you will receive within 24 hours of the live call an email with a link to the recording and a PDF of the slides that I am referring to. So there are two ways you can join me today. Some of you are on the phone and some of you are online. If you want to jump online, you would want to go to the link, which is this, /instantteleseminar.com/event ID=464451 42. And in that way, you can follow along with the slides, and you can also submit a question online if you'd like. On the phone here, folks, you are all muted, but I'm going to leave a little time at the end of the call at about 10 of 1 if I can, to take your questions, and I hope that you start formulating them. No question is too big, too small. Anything you want to ask is fine. And when I open up the call, I will just ask you to hit star 2, which will allow me to see that you've raised your hand, and I can call on you in the order that those questions come in. So I would love you, if you would, this is my request, that you have a pad and pencil in front of you and you take some notes. You know, those of you who've been on these calls know I want each class to offer you a breakthrough of some sort, no matter how small or how big, but a new way of thinking about the world, about your situation, a more effective way to deal with your challenges. You know, I'm really looking for breakthrough here. That's the goal. So for that to happen, what I'd like you to do is really take this personally. When you hear this content, and again, I mentioned this request in all of my talks and workshops, think about what you resonate with, what you think, oh, wow, yeah, that's so me and that's so right on. But almost more importantly, think about what you resist, what you say, ooh, I don't want that to be true, or no, I don't want to look at that, or oh, that would never be me, whatever you resist, because as they say, what you resist persists. So, what you're saying no to is often the very thing you need to walk right into and embrace change. And that's what creates the breakthrough moment. So again, we'll be doing about 45 minutes of career success strategies here around reducing stress, and then I'll open it up for questions. I do want to share with you, too, that the curriculum for the 12 months of these calls is somewhat set, but it's not set in stone. So if there are topics that you are really desperate to hear me speak about and to learn more about, just send me an email at kathy@elliacommunications.com and just let me know, refer to career success training. And, I'll do my best to either touch on that topic or dedicate a class to it, depending on how many people share that interest in that. So please do let me know. And for all of this, I refer to a lot of resources. You can find a lot of them on my website, elliacommunications.com. And make sure you like the Career Success Training Facebook page, if you would, and join there. Post your wins and your accomplishments and your questions. I would love to hear from you there. Okay, wonderful. Let's just dig right in here, reducing stress and embracing wellness and balance. So here are the key topics we're going to be exploring today. First is defining stress and how it affects you. We're also going to be looking at the warning signs that stress has become either acute or overwhelming for you. Number 3, common responses to stress. And I'm going to ask you again to make it personal. Think about where you fit in all of this and where you recognize yourself. That's going to be very important. We're also going to be looking at 6 core stress management strategies, ways we can concretely and practically change how we deal with stress and how we manage it. And we're also going to help you look at defining the stressors in your life today. And as we said, we're in the holiday season right now. There's even more, a different type of stressor often around family and responsibilities and meeting expectations and traveling and all sorts of activity that's added to our already crazy busy lives. But we're going to look at what truly triggers stress in your life. And finally, we're going to be exploring how to create new solutions for reducing stress for you. All right, so let's just dig in here. I'm going to advance the slides. Sorry about that, folks. Hang on a minute so you can follow along if you're online again. All right. So what is stress? You know, some people think of it in a certain way, and I want to explain how I conceive of it and what research talks about it to be. So first of all, it's important to know that stress in general is necessary. It's necessary for life, for our creativity, for our learning. It's necessary for our survival. And stress is a normal physical response to events that make you feel threatened or that upset your balance. So it's normal. It's the body's way of protecting you. And it also helps you stay focused, energetic, alert, right? And it comes from when our systems sense danger. And that can be real physical danger or it can be imagined danger, you know, when we're stretching out of our comfort zone or when something is shaking up our status quo. And it often leads to a fight or flight reaction. You've heard that mentioned. You've seen that in the news and in writing. We're going to talk about that. What's interesting, I find, is both positive and negative events and common everyday events can contribute to your stress. So, for instance, for me, I find that I don't want to say I'm perfect at dealing with negative things that come my way, but I've gotten very good at dealing with the bumps, the unexpected surprises that, you know, that were unwanted. What's interesting for me is as I stretch bigger, and I'm wondering if this resonates with you, it's the positive events that sometimes contribute more stress, like I'm going to be on TV next week, you know, or I'm interviewing Anthony Robbins for a series in my Forbes blog. It's the positive things where I'm going to stretch way out of my comfort zones that contributes for me more stress often than negative or common events. So stress, what I'd want you to know here, it's harmful only when it's acute or overwhelming or chronic. So we're not trying to eradicate stress. That's not the point. The point is we're trying to mitigate it. We're trying to make sure it's not overwhelming, not acute, not chronic, but it's very manageable. And I think you know, or you wouldn't be on this call, stress overwhelm can cause major damage to your health, to your mood, your productivity, your ability to think and perform, your relationships, and the overall quality of your life. And this, what's interesting is chronic everyday stress can be as damaging as stress from a traumatic incident. We don't really realize that. But when we're living constantly overtaxed, exhausted, depleted, nervous, anxious, that can be much more damaging than even a traumatic event. All right. So what are the common responses to stress? There's actually 3. And again, I'm wanting you to think which ones resonate with you. What do you find yourself doing habitually? So here are the 3. The first is when you've got a stress trigger, there's foot on the gas, which means you're angry or agitated. You get heated up. You get keyed up. You get overly emotional, maybe unable to sit still. But it's truly like you're accelerating the emotion, right? The second common response is foot on the brake, which means you're withdrawn or depressed. You shut down. Maybe you space out a little bit or show very little energy or emotion. And a third common response is foot on both, which is really interesting. You're tense and frozen, and you freeze under pressure. and you feel like you just can't do anything. You don't know even how to move forward. You can look for on the outside like there's a paralysis, that you're paralyzed, but under the surface you're extremely agitated. Now, different stresses trigger different responses, and we can, depending on our mood and our physical state and our emotional state, we can have a variety of responses. It's not always the same, of course. But in general, I think we tend to gravitate towards one of these. What would I say mine is? Definitely the agitated. I get keyed up. I get emotional. I'll start pacing. That's me. Unless I'm just so overburdened, then I'll just sleep. So where are you in this? Foot on the gas, foot on the brake, foot on both. And I'll tell you shortly why it's so important for you to begin to understand how you respond to stress, to begin to know yourself extremely well. That's a key. So I want to chat with you, too, a little bit about warning signs of stress. When it's getting overwhelming, when it's getting unmanageable, how do you know? Well, there's symptoms. There are symptoms, and there are many more than what I'm going to share with you here. But here are some of the main ones. There are cognitive symptoms, emotional symptoms, physical symptoms, and behavioral symptoms. So cognitive means this. You might have some memory problems. You're forgetting. I notice when I've got a lot going on, someone will say something to me, like introduce themselves, and I can't even remember their name 1 minute later. And that shows me I'm not focused. I'm stressed, right? Or I put my purse down or my cell phone, and I can't, 1 second ago, and I can't even remember where I put it. Memory problems, inability to concentrate, poor judgment, seeing only the negative, anxious or racing thoughts, or constant worrying. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, the negative impact of constant worry. The emotional symptoms might look like this, a moodiness, irritability or short temper, barking at someone, barking at your children, barking at your boss or your subordinates or your peers, agitation or an inability to relax. Like when you lay down, the doctor will often ask us, how are you sleeping? You know, are you able to fall asleep right away and then do you sleep through the night, or do you wake up and then you lay there wide awake? That's all anxiety, you know. Feeling overwhelmed, a sense of loneliness. A lot of people feel, when they're very, very stressed, they feel isolated. They feel alone in the world. And also depression or general unhappiness can be a sign of stress, right? We don't necessarily tie the two together, but absolutely stress can bring forth a feeling of depression. What are some physical symptoms? Surprisingly, aches and pains can be from stress, diarrhea or constipation, nausea, dizziness, chest pain, rapid heartbeat. I remember once when I was about 25, working in the city, big stressful job, I started having what I thought was chest pains, and I went right to the hospital. Chest pains, I thought at 25 I was having a heart attack. Well, turns out it was a condition of kind of the inflammation of the cartilage in the sternum, costochondritis, I think it's called. But so certainly a much more benign situation, but the inflammation comes from stress, for me anyway. So interesting. Loss of sex drive, that can happen. Frequent colds and illness, getting sick all the time. Some of you know this story. I had an 18-year corporate career. On the outside, very successful. On the inside, not so much. And it got very bumpy after I hit 40. Sexual harassment, discrimination, no work-life balance, feeling like the work had zero meaning in my life, and I was so stressed. I worked and lived in two different states, New York and Connecticut, and I had little kids. But what I share that for is that for 4 years, every 3 or 4 months, I got something called tracheitis, an infection of the trachea. And it was horrible. It was so painful, kind of like laryngitis, but lower right there in the trachea where you speak. And I got so sick and, you know, green phlegm. It was absolutely horrible. And doctors couldn't figure out why. They just kept giving me massive doses of antibiotics, which made my body even weaker. And, you can read about this in my book, Breakdown Breakthrough, but no doctor could help, so I finally went to an energy healer who said, wow, what are you doing for a living? Not knowing anything about me. And I said, why do you ask? And she said, you know, right there, your throat is the seat of who you really are, your authenticity, your voice. And if you're using it in ways that are not authentic to you, you're going to get sick. And I was like, wow, that's interesting, but I didn't want to believe it. So I went to another energy healer, and she said, oh, wow, this means a crying from within. And she was pointing to the throat. And she said, what do you do for a living? I said, oh, brother, I guess I really can't ignore that. And do you know, from the minute I was laid off, 1 month after 9/11, so we're talking, what, 12 years ago, I have not had tracheitis since. So it was 100% stress-induced, absolutely. And also, you know, a symbol, a sign, a metaphor that I was being very inauthentic and hated the work and needed a change. So there you go. What else? Behavioral symptoms of stress. These are warning signs that you've got to change how you address your stress. You've got to change. So the behavioral symptoms are you're eating more or less in kind of a very erratic way, sleeping too much, sleeping too little, isolating yourself from others. You're procrastinating work or tasks that you know you need to do or neglecting your responsibilities. You're using alcohol, cigarettes, or drugs to relax, and we're going to talk about that as an unhealthy mechanism, coping mechanism. Or you've adopted some nervous habits, nail biting, pacing. Some people pull out their hair. Of course, we know about cutting and other coping mechanisms. So I want you to look at what's going on in your life. Do you have any of these symptoms? If so, it simply means it's time to change how you operate in the world and how you deal with stress. All right. And, you know, if anybody, as I'm moving fast, I know that if anyone has a question and you're online, you can feel free to send it to me. You know, you just submit your question, type it in and submit it, and I'll be checking the Q&A portion of my dashboard every few minutes, but don't hesitate because I will take your question if it's burning right then and there or certainly when we open up the call a little later. All right, back to my slides. Sometimes it takes a minute, sorry, when I move away. There we go. Okay, so the very first thing I want to talk to you about is, well, how do we go about avoiding the overwhelm, the stress overwhelm? You know, everybody tells me, okay, you know, I have a 24/7 job, or, you know, I'm working now from 8 to 6, and I get home and I feed my kids, and then I have other things to do around the house, and I'm completely overwhelmed. And then when you add the holidays to it, you know, it just seems untenable. I can't handle it all. So what are the very first steps of avoiding overwhelm? Well, let me share this with you. This is the concept I really want to hit home today. Those who are aware of their stress and know how to manage it are less likely to get overwhelmed. Yeah, they'll feel stress, but it won't feel like an overwhelming, unmanageable situation. So, you know, what's clear to know is when stress is out of control, it can get in the way of your ability to think clearly and creatively, to communicate clearly. Oh, that's so true. I have a story in my own life just the other day. Snapped at my husband about something. Really snapped. Like, rah! You know, a harsh scream. That's just coming from stress, you know. So we don't communicate as calmly or clearly. We can't accurately read other people as well when we're in overwhelm. We can't really hear what other people are saying because there's so much pretty hysterical chatter in our mind. It's hard to trust others because we're not really attending to our own needs. So that leads us to just not trust ourselves or others. So what do we have to do to manage stress? Let's get right into that. Well, managing stress is all about taking charge of the following: your thoughts, your emotions, your schedule, your environment, your relationships, and the way you deal with problems. Let me just say that again. Managing stress is all about taking charge of your thoughts, emotions, schedule, environment, relationships, and the way you deal with problems. So what's the ultimate goal of managing stress before we get into the nitty-gritty? Well, to me, the ultimate goal is having a balanced life. And boy, there's a lot written about work-life balance and balance is a pipe dream. I don't believe that in the least. And I've had high-powered corporate jobs. I've run my own consulting and coaching business. You know, I'm a very avid writer, trainer, speaker, so I'm doing about five things professionally. I have kids of my own, a house to maintain. So I really believe this. The ultimate goal of managing stress is a balanced life with time, quality time for work, relationships, relaxation, and fun, plus the resilience to hold up under pressure and meet the challenges you want to face. You know, a life well lived isn't just about hunkering down and status quo and coasting. Most of us have goals and dreams and big ideas for where we want to take our lives. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's just about attending to the responsibilities you have right now, like caring for your children or caring for your elderly parents. But most of us thrive when we think about a bigger version of ourselves, how we can be of service in the world using our talents and gifts in ways that excite us. So it's not that we want to avoid, you know, adding to our plate or avoid stress, because as we talked about, sometimes those positive experiences where you're stretching make you stressed. It's that you want balance, right? You want time for work, time for play, time for relationships, time for relaxation, right? And resilience to hold up under pressure. I just throw this out to you. I did write recently a Forbes post on Are You Stressing Yourself Out? Five Ways to Gain Control. So you might want to check that out for a little, you know, further reading. All right. So here's the deal. Emotional awareness is key. This is absolutely key in managing your stress. Why? Because emotions, not our thoughts, our emotions are what motivate us. Right? So first you feel the emotion, anger, rage, distrust, envy, right? And that's what motivates. So without an awareness of what you're feeling, you can't really understand your behavior. You can't manage your emotions and actions, right? So why do we need emotional awareness? It helps you recognize who you are and what you need and like. It helps you understand and empathize with others. Helps you communicate more clearly, as we were talking about. Helps you make sound decisions, right? Because you're going to now operate based on your own priorities, the things that are most important to you, right? Emotional awareness helps you get motivated and take action and meet goals. And it helps you build strong, healthy, and rewarding relationships. So you've got to be more emotionally aware. And, you know, there's no limit to that. I mean, I found, I would say, my first 18 years in the working world, and as a mom, I don't think I was high on the emotional awareness scale. But then, you know, I left corporate. I took a breather from that kind of life. I trained as a therapist, trained as a coach, and started, it's interesting, in my business, I have to listen very, very carefully to people. That's how you coach. That's how you help them. And that type of endeavor, listening and validating and empathizing and understanding and putting yourself in someone's shoes, that has allowed me to become much more emotionally aware. But many people, many women that I work with, I would say are not emotionally aware. They can't answer why they're feeling the way they're feeling or why they had that reaction or why they did that behavior. They can't answer that. So the consequences of avoiding your emotions, again, are you don't know yourself. And there's an author who I love, quite well-known social researcher, Brené Brown. And she has a TED Talk that's just brilliant about the power of vulnerability. And she talks about how vulnerability, being able to be vulnerable, is the key to a well-lived life. And she talks about when you try to blunt the bad emotions, you blunt everything. You blunt love and support and trust. So if you avoid your emotions, you lose the good along with the bad. You know, bad meaning scary negative things that make you worried. Also, avoiding your emotions, it's exhausting. It adds more stress, right? Rather than just sitting down and saying, what am I so upset about? What am I so worried about? What's the worst thing? What's the worst fear? And instead of getting into the cage with your fear, you're working so hard to hide from the fear that it adds more stress. And it certainly damages your relationships in your life if you avoid your emotions. So how do we connect with our emotional awareness? Okay, great, Kathy, I need to be more emotionally aware. What do I do? Well, there's some easy practical tips for you. First of all, emotions are aligned to physical sensations. Some people say that physical feelings are usually experienced somewhere below the bridge of the nose. Isn't that an interesting way to visualize it? So, for instance, you might have sensations in your stomach. I do. I know. I immediately feel things in my stomach. And in fact, if I'm really nervous and I'm going to give a big talk or going to interview someone who I so respect, I'll have a little upset stomach. I'll just feel it. When I feel that, I know I'm nervous. And I breathe into it. It hasn't gone away completely, but boy, it's gone away a lot. It's really reduced. Now that I know what it is and I take 3 deep breaths and say, okay, you're scared. It's okay. You know, what are you most scared about? And boy, knowing that that stomach feeling means I'm scared helps me. It helps me prepare better, right? There's other people feel tension in their muscles, in their neck, ooh, or their upper back or their lower back, right? They're sore. Feelings are being expressed. I always say that, you know, the body says what the lips do not. Couldn't be more true. You know, what is your body saying? Sometimes physical sensations like the subtle urge to move a body part, move your hand, move your leg, shake your leg, that's revealing some emotions that are underlying. Or even flashes of insight. You know, the people who have the happiest lives that I work with have a very well-tuned sense of intuition. They have literally, well, some people's intuition hits them different places. In their neck, the hair on the back of their neck will stand up sometimes. But most people tell me that they have a gut feeling, and that's intuition. And if you don't even know you have it, if you're not listening to yourself, you're going to miss a great deal of information and awareness. And again, greater awareness equals greater choice. That's what we're going for. We're not looking for perfection here. It's progress. It's a process, but we're looking for greater awareness equaling greater choice. A few other things about connecting with emotional awareness. You don't have to choose between thinking and feeling. It's a balance. That's what you're going for. So that you're not just reacting out of your feelings, but you're not overly in your head either. Because if we just apply logic and analysis to our lives, we're missing the feeling part of it. So the key is balance. And what are the benefits of that? Of emotional awareness, connecting with that in a deeper way. You're going to set healthier boundaries. You're going to communicate better. You can also predict, it's really true, what others are going to do. And you're going to make better decisions. All right, does anybody have any questions so far? You can submit them online again. All right. I'm going to keep looking at my dashboard, and you let me know if you have any questions on any of this. All right. So, you know, it's interesting. What we're stressed about, or the sources of stress, are not always obvious. Well, actually, there's an awful lot to think about in terms of there are subconscious blocks to our wellness, to our well-being, to our happiness, to our sense of love and trust. And there, I just throw this out to you. If you feel like you're stressed around money, I have found a wonderful, wonderful book called Tapping into Wealth by Margaret Lynch. She presents EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, literally tapping on certain acupressure points on your head and your body, and it's powerful, and it releases, and I won't go into it here, but Tapping into Wealth, check out the book, check out Margaret Lynch. It can help you release subconscious blocks that are in the way, and there are some. Trust me on this. You know, I've done, again, years of therapy training myself. I've had therapy. I've had energy healing. I'm a Reiki master, and there are still millions of subconscious beliefs and mindsets and triggers that, you know, because they're subconscious, we're not aware of them. So if you feel like some subconscious stuff is blocking you, no matter what you do, you're not able to manage your stress or move forward, check out that book. But here it is. Stress management starts with identifying the sources of stress in your life. So where is it coming from specifically? So the very first thing I want you to look at is habits, attitude, and excuses. Okay, now this is a bit of a douche across the face here, but people make a million excuses for their stress level. Here's just a few. They might say, oh, I know my stress is just temporary. Like, oh, I have a million things going on right now. And so they'll say that, but yet if you talk to them in 6 months, it's still the same thing. It's stress, it's overload, you know. So it's a habit. It's a chronic habit. Or they'll say, you know, well, stress is an integral part of my life. You know, something like, things are always crazy around here. So they think of it as, well, it's part of who I am. But it isn't. It doesn't have to be. That's an excuse. That's an excuse. Or they might blame stress on other people or outside events. I always talk about below-the-line thinking and above-the-line thinking. Below-the-line thinking is thinking, oh, it's my boss, it's the economy, it's my industry, it's my age. It's, you know, sexism, whatever it is. People who think below the line will blame outside circumstances for what's going on. Now, above the line thinking isn't Pollyanna. It isn't disregarding outside factors, but it's saying, look, I see what the challenges are. I'm wide open, eyes wide open about that. But I'm accountable. I'm responsible. I can shape my outcome, my destiny, my future, my life, and I'm going to do it. That's above the line thinking. So when we're just always blaming our stress on our boss, our job, our kids, our money, our checkbook, you're not taking control. You're not managing. You're not self-regulating. You're just blaming others. And finally, another excuse or attitude is viewing it just entirely normal. Well, you know, this is normal how I feel, that I'm up all night worrying, or that I have a chronic nail-biting problem, or, you know, I can't eat because I'm so nervous. This is just who I am. Again, excuses. And I know that's harsh talk. I don't mean it to be. I mean it to be loving. But I've made those excuses myself. And we're going to talk about how do we reclaim control so that we can manage it and stop making excuses. Overwhelming stress does not have to be an integral part of your life. It doesn't and it shouldn't be. So let's look at some origins of internal stress. So I want to ask you this. Are you making yourself more stressed than you need to be, than you could be? So what do I mean by that? There's some hallmarks of people or behavior that, you know, reveals that you're stressing yourself out. And here they are. Do you worry about things that are out of your control? Do you dwell on the negatives, only the negatives? There are some people I know that all they see are the negatives. They're very pessimistic. You know, they might need help. Well, the help I get won't be good. Or no one will help me. Or no one understands me. Or this isn't going to work out. It's pessimism. If that's you, if you're dwelling on the negatives, I can tell you this. If you come out of the chute thinking it's all going to go badly, it is all going to go badly because we bring into our life experience that which we're looking for. Trust me on that. I know this. So if you're dwelling only on how bad it's going, that's what's going to be perpetuated. What you focus on expands. So I really beg of you, if that is your nature, to start taking some of these actions that we're going to talk about, to shift your focus away from how it's going badly, how it's negative, away from pessimism to optimism. In fact, there's a wonderful TED Talk, and I wrote a Forbes post about this wonderful fellow, Sean Acker, A-C-H-O-R, who did a TED Talk on the happy secret of, I'm forgetting the TED Talk name, but my Forbes post is how happiness directly impacts your success. And I want you to read that He talks about how our society is completely backwards about how we think about success and happiness. We think if we strive and work hard and get more successful, then happiness will come. And the research shows it's the opposite. If you can claim more happiness today, regardless of what's outside of you, regardless of your external circumstances, if you can follow these habits that he presents in my post, you can read it, and change your access to happiness regardless of what's on the outside, then success will come much more readily. It's fascinating, and I've seen it in my own life. Again, are you making yourself stressed out by criticizing yourself mercilessly or holding yourself and others to unrealistic standards? I mean, when we look around at the holidays, for instance, how many of us are, you know, cleaning the house, decorating? I remember when my kids were little, I would actually wrap the Santa presents differently and use my I'm ambidextrous, so I would sign the little tags with my left hand instead of my normal right hand. Oh, my goodness, I went to amazing lengths to create a magical experience. And while I don't regret a moment of that, I held myself to a very high standard, and it was very stressful about how perfect I wanted it to be for them. Do you take on too many responsibilities? In a lot of my work, I talk about perfectionistic overfunctioning. Are you the kind of person that needs to get all A's in everything you do? Right? Because if you need to get all A's in everything you do, even if some of what you're focusing on is not that important to you, you're going to stress yourself out beyond belief. And the overfunctioning means you're doing more than is necessary, more than is healthy, more than is appropriate. And almost every client I've ever had is a perfectionistic overfunctioner. So we begin by looking at, what are you doing too much of? I mean, I'm guilty of it. I look at, my kids are 16 and 19, my daughter's in college now, but still with my son, I do more than is healthy, appropriate, and necessary. More. And that is crippling. Crippling for the people around you, crippling for you. So I'd like you to look at, where are you overfunctioning? And what can you let go of? What can you delegate? What can you ask of others that they should be doing? Right? Wonderful. All right. So let's take a breather for a minute and ask you, how well do you think you're managing your stress? I'd like you to think about these questions. And again, they're in the slides, which you're going to get. And I really hope you look at this deck after we're off the phone and think about these topics. Take it to heart. Can you answer these questions? When I feel agitated, do I know how to quickly calm myself? Can I easily let go of anger? Can I turn to others at work to help me calm down and feel better? When I come home at night, do I walk in the door feeling alert and relaxed? I mean, I'm sure almost everyone on this call is going to say, no. Am I seldom distracted or moody? Am I able to recognize upsets that others seem to be experiencing? Do I easily turn to friends and family members for a calming influence? And finally, when my energy is low, do I know how to boost it? So if the answer is yes to these questions, you're managing stress very well. And I'd like you to think about, where is the answer, heck no, you know? I'd like you to really look at that, if you would, because those are the areas we have to help you focus on. So acknowledging stress is the first step to reducing its impact or lessening its impact, okay? So here's some tips. If you have, here's what I'm trying to say. Hush the voice that's telling you, okay, I'm fine, I'm just fine. If you're not fine, you're not fine. And for you to pretend that you are is only exacerbating it. You're not addressing the trigger. You're not addressing what's making you feel that way. So start gaining awareness of your physical responses to stress. Observe your muscles and your insides. Are your muscles sore? Is your stomach tight? Are your hands clenched? And here's another really powerful tip. Observe your breath. Is your breath shallow? That's one very key sign that you're stressed. So place one hand on your belly and the other on your chest. And watch your hands rise and fall with each breath. Notice when you breathe fully and when you forget to breathe. I have a tip. It works like magic for me. When I'm about to do a talk, when I'm about to go and do a have a meeting, when I'm about to do anything that stretches me that I know that will produce a little stress, I take 3 very deep down to the bottom of my gut breaths. And, I mean, as much air as I can take in, and then a very long breath out. And I do that 3 times. And by the end of that process, I'm in a different state. I'm absolutely feeling it. 3 deep breaths can totally change your emotional state and your physical state. So try that before you're about to do anything that you know is going to stress you a little bit. Okay, I want to touch on here as well, how do we cope with stress that in unhealthy ways? What are some unhealthy coping mechanisms? I just want you to look at, could I be doing any of this, and what does it mean? And which ones resonate with you here? Smoking, drinking too much, overeating or undereating, zoning out for hours in front of the TV or the computer, withdrawing from friends, family, and activities, using pills or drugs to relax, sleeping too much, procrastinating, or the opposite, filling up every minute of the day. And finally, a very damaging one for your well-being and your relationship is taking your stress out on others, lashing out, angry outbursts, physical violence. These are unhealthy coping mechanisms. Now, I know many of us embark on a few of these with moderation, and that's life. But any of this to an extreme is dangerous and damaging. And what it means is you're not addressing and coping with your stress in the way that you need to live a happy, healthy, full, balanced life. So the flip side of it is I want to ask you, what does calmness feel like to you? Calmness is more than just a feeling, it's more than just feeling relaxed. It's maintaining a state of energy, alertness, and focus. So what does it feel like to you to be calm and stress-free? Do you know? And tell me or think about how much of the day do you feel calm, alert, productive, and focused? Literally, if your day were a pie chart, what size of that pie piece is calm? And what I'd like us to do is make a goal after listening to this teleclass that we're going to double the size of that piece. We're going to start with doubling it. That may not be nearly enough, but it's a start. So whatever that, so I want you to draw a little open circle, make a pie chart, you know, and how much right now are you in the day are you experiencing calm, alert, productive, focused, a focused mentality. And then we're going to double that by the steps we're about to take. So I want you to think about what's your wellness vision for 2014. What would it look like? What would it feel like if you had significantly less stress? How would you know that you were managing your stress better? Specifically, and don't say, well, I'd feel less stressed. Specifically, oh, I'd be sleeping better. I'd be less angry at my kids. I'd be able to be home more for them doing things I care about. I would bring forth my hobby more because I'm now too stressed to do it. What would it look like specifically if you were managing your stress better? And what would greater stress management and wellness bring to you? How would it change your life? I would like you to think about, your wellness vision for 2014, and I'd like you to create 3 goals around that. 3 goals for the new year about what wellness looks like in my life and how I can bring it forward. All right? Now, you're not going to do that on this call, but I certainly hope you'll do that in the next week or two, right before the holidays. All right, let's get into how do we deal with stress. So no one size fits all is going to work. It depends on your situation, depends on your style, you know, it depends on what works for you. And that's why, again, you have to be emotionally aware. You have to sit and think, what am I so angry about? What am I so stressed about? Why is this discussion with my mother upsetting me? why is this trip for the holidays upsetting me and making me scared and nervous? You know, you really have to ask yourself. You have to build an intimate relationship with yourself. But here's the deal. There are four A's to dealing with stressful situations, and they fall into two buckets. You either change the situation or you change your reaction to the situation. It's those two buckets. And within those, there are four A's. So under change the situation, you have avoid the stressor. And you can't always do that. We're going to talk about that. But when you can, do it. Alter the stressor. And under change your reaction, we have adapt to the stressor or accept the stressor. So let's get right in here to the six stress management strategies I'd like to share. The first is avoid unnecessary stress. So let's face it, not all stress can be avoided. If your boss makes you crazy, you're not going to be able to avoid your boss, or maybe you can, but not all of it can be avoided. And it's not healthy to avoid a situation that needs to be addressed. But there are many stressors you can eliminate. How? Here's how. First, you've got to learn how to say no, and this is about a boundary. If you've taken my classes, you know I talk a lot about boundaries. And the way I conceive of them is this. The boundary is the invisible barrier between you and your outside systems that regulate the flow of information and input to and from your outside systems, meaning your family, your church, your kids' school, right? Anything that exists outside you as a system. So when we have overly diffuse boundaries, we don't know where we end and others begin. So if someone says something snarky to you or judges you, you take it right in. I call it, you catch every ball that's thrown at you. On the other spectrum, side of the spectrum, if your boundaries are too rigid, nothing's getting in. You're completely emotionally detached. I know people I've worked with when I was a therapist and doing couples therapy. I would see often the husband, and sometimes the wife, but the husband would leave at 6 in the morning, go to New York City and work and come home at 9 and had no idea of the inner life of their children. Completely like an island. What you want to be is in the middle. You want to know where you end and others begin, and you want to be able to say no without it crushing you, right? So you have to learn how to say no. No to things you don't want to do. No to volunteer things you don't want to do. No to doing too much. No to doing your 20-year-old's laundry when you know it's his job to do it. It's time to start saying no. Also, avoid people who stress you out. This sounds so basic and so simple, and of course we should do that. But I remember in my corporate life, I would have regularly lunch with people that always stressed me out because they were so negative. Well, one time I remember one of my friends said, you know what, I'm going to read. I'm not going to go to lunch with the group. I'm going to read. And I'd say, come to and have lunch with me. But that was his way of staying positive. I'm not going to eat with this group. I'm going to read in my office. Avoid people who stress you out. Take control of your environment. So even for the holidays, for instance, if you're having a big gang come to your house, you can control it. You can. You know, look at the how, the who, what, where, when, and how of your environment. Where can you say no so that you can say yes to something that really matters to you? Also, avoid hot topic buttons. Here's an example. I'm a Democrat. My family is mostly Republican. Well, we're not going to talk politics over the dinner table. Forget it. It's going to be fistfights. So we avoid it. Think about what you can avoid. And finally, pare down your to-do list. Don't try to get an A+ in everything. Okay? That was step one. Avoid the unnecessary stress. Now we're at step two. Alter the situation. So figure out what you can do to change things so that the problem doesn't present itself in the future. Most often this involves changing the way you communicate and the way you operate in life. So let's start with the easiest, not the easiest, the most obvious one. Let's express your feelings instead of bottling them up. So think about the one person in your life right now who you know you need to have a conversation with, but you haven't. Well, the bottling of the feelings creates much more internal stress. I have this little habit when someone upsets me, a client of mine or people who are reaching out and I feel they're taking advantage, sometimes I'll go right down and have a Mint Milano cookie before I even know it because I'm stressed and I'm angry. But if I were just to stop, take my three deep breaths, I would say, okay, wait a minute, what's angering you? What can you do differently? Right? But before I know it, I'm in the kitchen eating my Mint Milano cookie. So express your feelings instead of bottling them up. But also be willing to compromise. It can't all be the way you want it. It can't be black and white. Right? If you really want to alter the situation, you really need to be willing to compromise. And I'd suggest you go to my Forbes blog and look at my post, 5 Steps to Fearless Confrontation. Fearless confrontation. That doesn't mean angry yelling. It means confronting a problem, an issue with someone, and how to do it effectively. Be more assertive. There's an author who I love, Brené Brown. She has a TED Talk, again, The Power of Vulnerability, and she has said, this is her motto, I choose discomfort over resentment. I love that. In other words, I don't want to resent this person anymore. I'm going to speak up. I'm going to say what needs to be said, and that's uncomfortable, but I choose discomfort over resentment. Right? And in altering the situation, it also means manage your time better. I have client after client, and just one, for instance, in my Amazing Career Project group coaching program, which I highly recommend, who says, I can't even think about the career change I want. I am running on a hamster wheel. I leave at about 7:30. I get home at 8. You know, I take care of what has to be done with my kids, and then I just flop into bed and watch TV. Well, you can't change your life, and you can't manage your stress that way. So you have to look at, what can I do to get home in a more reasonable hour? What can I do in the morning? In this case, my client has, her husband was a stay-at-home dad. So she was saying, well, I could ask him to do more in the morning. I never thought of that. He could do more. I could sleep later. I could commit to coming home at 6, not 8. That would mean a shift in how I work. And we started brainstorming. And she said, I'm not sure my culture is going to tolerate it. Well, if your culture isn't going to tolerate it, then it's time to think about a change, because you can't live your life like that. So it's up to you. You can do it. I know, because I've helped 10,000 women over 10 years make these kinds of changes. The third stress management step is adapt to the stressor. Okay, when it's not going to change, right, then you have to adapt, or you're going to break yourself against it. So the biggest tip I can give you is reframe it. Reframing is a technique I learned in my therapy training. It means telling the story in your mind or to others so that it fits the facts equally well, but paves the way for more positivity and expansion and hope and optimism. So, you know, here's a reframe. I got laid off, and I'm 51 years old, and I'm never going to find another job. And I don't know how to go about finding a job. Well, the reframe to that is, I'm 51, I got laid off, I didn't like that job anyway. I am going to learn everything I can about how to network and bring myself forward and find work that I do love. And I believe that's possible. That's a reframe. So instead of just breaking yourself against the hardness of reality, reframe it. Look at the big picture. Look at what could be coming, what positive outcomes could be coming from this challenge that I'm not even aware of, that will make me in 2 years look back and say, that is the happiest thing that ever happened to me, even though in the moment I didn't see it. I lived through that. I got laid off brutally after 9/11. After moving, you know, I was kind of responsible, the primary breadwinner, and I moved to a bigger house, more affluent community. 1 month later, 9/11, 1 month later, I get laid off. Biggest crisis ever. And my therapist said, because I was crying in his office, I know this is the worst crisis you've ever faced, but from where I sit, it's the first moment you can choose to be and do what you want. What do you want to do? Wow. It was like a cosmic 2x4. That's a reframe. And it's not just manipulating your mind. It's opening the door to see things more positively, to adapt to what has stressed you out, and embrace it and grow with it, so that you can be all that you want to be. All right. And number 4, accept the things you cannot change. Okay, so there are some things that are not changeable. Might be something with your children. I have clients who have children with Asperger's and autism and physical disabilities, or they're struggling with something in their family or something with a family member that is not going to change. So it's important to remember you can't control the uncontrollable. Look for the upside. Get help to share your feelings about it, right? Again, don't bottle them up. Find a therapist, find a coaching buddy, find a friend that you can share how you feel authentically, even though you might want to hide that because it doesn't sound nice. Or, you know, I went through the loss of my father last year, and dealing with it was very hard in so many dimensions. Finding friends to tell the truth about it too makes a huge difference. And the fourth piece of that is learn to forgive. There are things you cannot change, but if our anger makes us break ourselves against that person or that experience, then we never move on. So we need to learn to forgive. All right, the fifth step, stress management technique number 5, is make time for fun and relaxation and for you. Now, I know you're going to say, there's no time. That's not possible. You've got to make time. It's a non-negotiable. What kind of life is it if there's no time for you in it? You know, it's careening out of control. So you have to make time, but if you're a perfectionistic overfunctioner, that's really hard. But it means you've got to let go of what you no longer want to do or what's not helping you grow, right? So commit to fun, healthy ways to relax and set aside relaxation time. I mean, all my clients, when we talk about this, we come up with a plan. Like for me, I was one that made the biggest excuse completely about exercise. I want to do exercise that's fun for me. And I couldn't find that. I couldn't fit it into my schedule. When am I going to move away from my desk and go do some fun exercise? But I found Zumba, and I love it. And at one time, I was doing it 3 times a week. Now with the holidays less, but I'm committed to it. It's fun. It changes everything for me. It changes my outlook. It forces me to get out of my desk and my computer. I come home completely changed. So it's not only a stress buster. It's changed everything, how I think, how I feel, how I look. So set aside time that gives you a healthy way to relax and recharge. Also, don't forget to connect with others. Spend time. Go out of your way. Have lunch. Have a drink with a friend. You know, go on that weekend retreat with a group of friends. Do something that connects you to others, because when we're isolated, we stay in our own world, and that can help us not manage our stress as well as we'd like to. Don't forget to keep your sense of humor and commit to introducing stress relief into your life each day using all of your senses. Some people love to take a bath with kind of an aromatherapy lotion. Some people love to take a walk in nature, listening to their favorite meditative music. Use all your senses. Take time to get off the hamster wheel and rejuvenate yourself. And finally, step number 6, if you can, in any way you can, adopt a healthier lifestyle. That increases your resistance to stress by strengthening your physicality. So wherever you can, find a way to exercise regularly. And so make time for, let's say, at least 30 minutes of exercise 3 times a week. It's, you know, my Zumba class is an hour, and they give it all. I go to LA Fitness, actually, and they give it all times of the day and night. So I can easily find 3 times a week, and I love it. I know every one of these steps I'm about to tell you, I know makes a huge difference in my life. Eating a healthier diet, right? Reducing caffeine and sugar. So the caffeine and sugar give you a temporary high, right? But then you often crash, right? You crash in your mood. You crash in your energy. So reduce coffee or soft drinks, chocolate, and sugar. It helps you sleep better and helps you feel more relaxed. I think it goes without saying you want to avoid alcohol, cigarettes, and drugs. Self-medicating with alcohol and drugs, it may provide what you think is an easy escape from stress, but the relief is only temporary and can be very, very damaging. And finally, find a way to get enough sleep. Adequate sleep fuels your mind, fuels your body, and I know for me, when I feel tired, feeling tired equals feeling depressed. I feel depressed. Everything looks gloomier. Everything looks more challenging. In fact, I was up at 4:30 today for my son, his hockey practice. If I don't watch it, that can affect my whole day, right? So you don't want, not getting enough sleep can cause you to think irrationally, cause you to feel depressed. So do everything you can to get enough sleep. That was a lot of content in 1 hour, and what I just want to share with you as a reminder, stress management, it is within your control. When you accept full responsibility for the role you play in creating or maintaining your stress, I guarantee you your stress level will finally become within your control. It's below-the-line thinking versus above-the-line thinking. Could you commit to being an above-the-line thinker, that you see what the challenges are, you understand what's facing you, you've got clear eyes, eyes wide open, but you believe in your ability to shape what is going on, shape your situation, shape the way you address it, so that stress becomes within your control. So, here are the takeaways. Think about, where are the key stressors? What are they? What are the key stressors in your life? What's holding you back most from managing your stress most effectively? In your mind, what do you think it is? Is it your job? Is it someone else? Is it your financial situation? What do you think is holding you back? Then think about, what are you committed to changing starting today? What can you let go of? That's my favorite thing. You know, in order to have a breakthrough, there are 5 steps. Step back for an empowered perspective of who you are and what you're capable of. Let go of the thinking patterns and behaviors that are keeping you stuck. Step 3, say yes to your compelling visions of what a happy, healthy, successful, rewarding life and career are. The 4th step is try it on. Explore these new directions that enliven you. Explore them before you leap. And the 5th is create a smart plan. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. So to those steps, what concrete action can you take this month to embrace wellness and manage your stress more effectively? And where will you find help? Because we can't do this stuff on our own. We simply can't. We'll say we can. That's why resolutions most often don't work. Yahoo! I'm gonna, you know, exercise at Zumba and go to a nutritionist and change my diet, and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. If we don't get someone to help us be accountable, it becomes an idea that doesn't manifest in reality. So I hope that was helpful. I believe if you take even one of the 6 steps that we've outlined here, you will have a breakthrough to enhance wellness and balance and reduce stress. I believe that. And I certainly would love to hear what you learned from this, what steps you're going to take, what you commit to, and don't make it too overly outlandish. We don't need to add 100 things to your plate, but we do want to see you making some change. Some, and small changes lead to bigger changes, so it doesn't have to be cataclysmic. One small change that you commit to this month to manage the stress level, you know, that would be just wonderful. I'd love to hear that on the Facebook page, Career Success Training Facebook page. Share it. Feel free to tweet out anything you've learned here. And now I want to open it up to questions. I'd love to hear from you. What are you struggling from around stress? If you have any questions, nothing's too small, too big, let me know. Any questions at all you have to do is raise your hand by hitting *2, and I will see your little hand raised and I'll come to you. Or submit a question online, and I will address it. What you could do, if you're feeling a little shy as well, you can certainly send me an email at Kathy@ElliottCommunications.com. Feel free to ask me a question about your stress. And do check out my free video blog, Work You Love, on ElliottCommunications.com/blog. If I can address your question there, I will try to tackle that as well so that others can learn from it. So I'll wait one more minute for any questions you have, any questions at all about how do I manage the stress trigger that I have here, or in the holidays, how can I do this better? Any question you have. All right. All right, my friends, I certainly hope this was helpful. There was a lot of content. You will be receiving an email shortly with a recording, a link to the recording, and a copy of the PDF of the slides. I encourage and hope, encourage you to read this deck again. And again, make a goal for yourself. 3 steps that are smart, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely that you will do this month to reclaim your life and manage your stress level so that you can move towards having the wellness and the success and happiness and reward that you so deserve in your life and career. Thank you so much, my friends. And, oh, I wanted to share with you next month's call. I wanted to give you the date. Is January 15th, Power Networking, Mentors, and Building a Strong Support Community. Building a community that supports you is singly, you know, one of the most important things you can do to have career success and personal success. And a lot of people ask me, well, how do I get a mentor? What's a sponsor and how are they different? And how do I network? How do I go about it? So we're going to touch on all of those topics on January 15th. And in the coming months, we're going to be talking about overcoming mommy guilt and creating more work-life balance. We're going to talk about how you can determine the best next professional direction. We're also going to be covering becoming an inspiring leader and manager. Earning more money doing work you love is another topic we'll be handling in upcoming months. And finally, building a compelling resume and story that aligns with you. Those are just some of the topics we're tackling in the months to come. So stay with us. Contribute. Let me hear from you. And thank you so much. Very happy holidays to you. And here's to managing our stress level and embracing the wellness and balance that we so long for. All right. Thank you so much. And I'll see you next month. Bye-bye.
The moderator has